shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a live podcast. Podcast being placed on sermonaudio.com and YouTube at the same time. It's devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 410. It's March 2, 2016. Today we talk about Antiochus Epiphanes. He's not mentioned in the Bible, but he's clearly alluded to in the scripture in Daniel. Here's a picture for those YouTubers on board of a coin that was processed in the days of Antiochus. And the Greek inscription on it, as you can see, I'm just going to try to read backwards here. It says, King Antiochus, the Holy Epiphany. The Holy Epiphanes, Nicator. It means Antiochus, image of God, or manifested one, the bearer of victory. He seems to match Antichrist quite a bit. In fact, he's always been my personal choice. If we could have personal choices, it's like, it's not like I'm making all this up and, wow, I like that one. It's based on the scripture at what I mean. The scripture seems to point to Antiochus Epiphanes being the one who will rise from the dead. Careful study of a forgotten but very amazing prophecy in the end of the book of Daniel is my reason. Let's visit the book. Let me get my Bible. When I go get my Bible, you've always got to go get your Bible, right? Turn it. Come on, open it up. You don't know what I'm telling you. Go to the book of Daniel to be sure I'm saying what I ought to. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Come on. Ezekiel. And then, that's it. The book of Daniel. End of chapter 11. Well, most of the prophecy of Daniel 11 is so perfect that the critics have claimed that whoever wrote the book of Daniel simply pretended to be some prophet named Daniel. He put Daniel's name on it. And when he came to the end of the history part, because he was living up through that time himself, and he could just look back at the history and pretend he was prophesying. When he got to that, the part where he was living, he just guessed the future, and he was a bad guesser. That's intellectual thought of our day. That's what they say. Faith says something else. Faith says God knows it all. He can tell it to anybody he wants to tell it to. He told it to Nebuchadnezzar, recorded in this same book of Daniel. And it came to pass, the various phases of history that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And now Daniel is seeing something. It's something he sees so precise, so exact, that the people want to just believe it couldn't have happened. It couldn't have been true. I mean, we can say a whole lot of things about it, but for sure it's not true. That's how people are. So I approach the book of Daniel as I do the entire Bible. It's true. It's all true. There was a Daniel. He did write a book. I've got it right here. It was passed on down. There's been no corruption in it, Mr. Islamist. No corruption. No, it's been passed down meticulously, carefully by the Jewish scribes. They were very careful to the point of death. They could not make mistakes in this. Passed it down, it was translated. Got a little bit of this and that in terms of punctuation and, you know, there's little things in there. But it was passed down. The truth of it is here. The book of Daniel is here. An angel did appear to him. And the angel told him the future. And here it is. Here it is. The end, first Daniel says, the end of the Persian Empire at the hands of the Greeks. That's first. In Daniel 11, when the prophecy actually begins. Daniel 10, he's getting all prepared for it. Daniel 11, it actually begins. And he begins to talk about how the Persian Empire, in which he is living, is going to end. And it's going to end at the hand of the Greeks. It's all spelled out. I mean, the interpretation is given here. We know what he's talking about. And we know that Alexander fulfilled that prophecy. I'm told that Alexander was actually shown the book of Daniel. And when he came through, of course, many years later, but the Jewish people of that day showed him how Daniel had seen Greece coming in and seen Alexander in particular. And he's not mentioned by name, but it's clear who Alexander is in the text here. Alexander dies. That's in the text. Everybody dies, but his kingdom is divided among his four main generals. That's prophecy. That's history. We know that's the truth. Two of those generals are singled out, and their descendants are called the King of the North and the King of the South. Well, that becomes very clear too when you know history. You've got to just do a little bit of you don't have to do deep research, but you go into a little bit of history and you find that the King of the North, the Syrian Empire of that day. Syria, notice that one. I don't want to jump close too quickly on Syria, but Syria is in the news. There's a danger of reading the news first, trying to put the news into the scripture, and it doesn't work. Can you imagine living during the days of Adolf Hitler? You just know he's got to be the Antichrist, and you're trying to find a way to put him in here. I've had people try to put Bill Clinton in here, and I have issues with Bill Clinton. Oh my, don't we all? But he's not the Antichrist, though some were trying to prove that he was. I've heard it about Bush and Obama. Silly stuff. Get out of the newspapers, get into your Bible, and find out what the Bible says about who he's going to be. It's not as much a mystery as we'd like to make it. It is still unknown ultimately, but there's pathways to the truth that don't lead through the New York Times and Fox News. It's just not going to be on there. So the Syrian Empire was the king of the north. The empire was not the king, but the kings of the north were kings of a Syrian empire. And then there was the Egyptian Empire. All these are historic facts. Not talking about the pharaohs anymore, but a new class of leaders down there, and the first one being the general of Alexander. The Bible had said it would be split four ways, and it was. But that two of those in particular would be clashing with each other constantly, and that happened. And so throughout Daniel 11, we talk about the king of the north and then the king of the south. And you see how one time the king of the north is winning and then one time the king of the south is winning. Constant conflict. And Israel, of course, being right in the middle of that, picks up on some of that conflict. And sometimes they're on one side and sometimes they're on the other. Always being trashed by somebody, it seems. Until you get to Daniel 11:21. Things start narrowing down here. Focus narrows to a particular man in 11:21. In his place shall arise a vile person. We're still in history now. A vile person to whom they will not give the honor of royalty. They will not give the honor of royalty to this vile person. And by the way, according to the flow of the text, we're talking about somebody in the north. One of the Syrian kings will not be a legitimate king. He will take the kingdom. He'll come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. There's ways that certain men have of getting things done, and don't have to be forcibly all the time. He was tricky. He knew what he was doing, given up for dead in Rome. But he finds a way to get out of there, comes back, and takes over the kingdom by intrigue, by treachery, by tricks of some sort. The history is there for that, too. So the focus is narrowed. Vile king. We know him as Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a liar. He was a man convinced of his own divinity eventually. But truly he was a despicable man. He hated Israel, had conflicts with them. You may know of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the celebration of the victory of the Maccabean brothers over Antiochus Epiphanes. That's what Hanukkah was all about. By the way, Hanukkah is a real story. It's more real historically than Christmas is. I don't mean the birth of Jesus. I mean the December 25 date for the birth of Jesus. We have a lot of, there's history is history. You can't say one thing is more historical than another once you've proved that it is truly historical. And so the whole story of the Maccabees and Antiochus Epiphanes, those are history, good history. And the Hanukkah celebration, and we know basically when that happened, is a good celebration. It's based in history, based in the Word of God. Whereas Christmas, we love to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but that should be celebrated year round. And there is no history that we have of when it ever took place, and so we don't have a time when it should be celebrated. We're not even told necessarily to celebrate it. But how can we help but get excited when we think of how God became a man? God entered the human race. And so he comes into conflict, Antiochus Epiphanes does, with the growing Roman Empire. You remember the progression of history? We're going to see Assyria, then Babylonia, then Greece, and then Rome. We're in the Grecian part. Alexander is dead. That's mainly Greece, but there's a period after that, during the Syrian wars, the wars of aggression, the wars of, I've forgotten what you call it, succession, the successor wars, the wars of those who succeeded Alexander. But while that all is going on, Rome is starting to rise. We're going to be entering into the Roman phase, and so Antiochus Epiphanes wants to get bigger and bigger as his dad, Alexander the Great. I don't mean Alexander the Great, Antiochus the Great, Antiochus the Third, wanted, but he was stopped by Rome. And Antiochus Epiphanes comes into that kind of a clash too with Rome. And he's defeated by Rome. Doesn't get done what he wants to get done, which is one of the things that leads me to think he's got to come back and finish it. But none of these guys really did. They were all indwelt, in a sense, by Satan. And it is Satan who's been trying to get things done and using humans to do it. And God won't let him do it yet. He'll never let him do it ultimately. So he's going to try again and again. He's tried, according to my understanding of this whole text, he's tried 6 times in history, big way. He's always trying little things. But he tried 6 big events. He actually erupted like in a mountainous form, great world power, but stopped before he could really do it all that he wanted to do. He dies a sickly death, does Antiochus, eaten of worms, like Herod in the New Testament. That historical figure from verse 21 on takes us through to verse 35. You can argue that there's some overlapping starting at verse 29, where we're talking about the man, and then we're talking about another man. It's a weird, strange passage, and I can't go any farther with it today. If you've never studied Daniel 11, Go ahead and try right now on your own. Tomorrow, I'm taking a day off because of a schedule conflict, so I cannot be with you tomorrow. Lord willing, on Friday, we'll delve into Daniel 11. I'm going to give you a day to check it out on your own. Find out yourself what's going on in Daniel 11. Don't write this off as there's an explanation to it. There's an explanation to it, and it's a very important one. There's no mistakes in God's Word. The mystery starts in verse 36. 29 to 35 is a part of the mystery. The real mystery starts in verse 36, when the skeptics are saying, well, he was just guessing. No, he wasn't guessing. He was prophesying the whole time. And Paul the Apostle picks up on it. But I'm going to get way ahead of it. See, I just keep rambling. Got to stop right now. Got to take off tomorrow because of a job situation, and I just won't have time, my normal time, to be doing this. So we'll just wait till Friday to work on this, okay? Thank you so much for being with us today. It's always good to have you. Can you subscribe? Would you do that? YouTube, you know how to subscribe. I notice people have been doing that, and I appreciate it. Just subscribe. And at sermonaudio.com, you just go to the top of the page, my webpage, and click on the orange button, and then click on iTunes, and click on, that's it, click on iTunes, and you will be subscribed to both of these. Thank you so much for doing that. God bless you today. Don't forget the awesome description in Daniel 11:36. We didn't quite get to it today. He, this man that we've been talking about, or is it? Or isn't it? He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. That's Paul's description of Antichrist. And here he is in a description, it seems, of Antiochus Epiphanes. What is going on? That's why this study is being given at this time.